It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King alongside of me. A couple of sponsors before we get into talk about that thrashing that happened in Lafayette Saturday.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762, or of course you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or jump on Twitter, use the hashtag BTBRadio, send us your questions, and we'll be sure to answer them on the air.
48-20.
Lafayette scored four more points against Louisiana Tech than Louisiana Tech scored against Oklahoma. But really, the last touchdown was garbage time anyway. 48-20.
It's arguable that the last two kind of were garbage time.
Yeah,
the game was out of hand when they scored their 13 points.
It was 41-7 when he scored, when Broadway hit him for a 20-yard touchdown pass. Made it 41-14. Then, of course, Jared Kraft gets his very first touchdown, makes it 48-14, and then with no time left, the backup quarterback,
Hack,
makes a touchdown pass, 48-20, and it's over.
Jared, what were you – of course, it was a 16-point line, and yes, I'm going to gloat. I said that Tech would win. No, did anybody think it would be 28 points? I don't think anybody thought there would be 28 points. But it was. That was almost a 40-point swing from the line of Tech, a 16-point underdog, to win him by 28. So I am going to gloat. I did pick it.
Well, you certainly did pick them to win. I mean, no one would pick them to win. I don't believe that anyone picked them to win in convincing fashion the way that they did. I picked ULL to win mostly because they were thought to have an explosive offense, and Louisiana Tech has been known to allow big runs, especially when on this zone read option type stuff with Terrence Broadway. And for personally, I looked at the statistics from this previous week, and I thought, okay, well, Broadway threw 13 interceptions last season. He threw two against Southern. I thought if they made him throw the ball, they would have their best chance to win. They were able to do that by getting ahead, tried to force ULL to pass to get back into the game.
Kept everything in front of them.
Absolutely. And then, of course, just like we expected, just like we hoped, Terrence Broadway did throw that interception, and Xavier Woods was only credited for 46 yards on that return, but he ran about 150 and scored the touchdown off of it.
We got a couple of comments on Twitter using the hashtag BTBRadio from Kelly. He says, one positive thing, Tony Johnson played like we all know he can, and what a game for him. I agree. Tony Johnson had an outstanding game. His other one is negative, is zero sacks in two games. You got to get pressure on the quarterback to win games. Number 94, 8, and number 9 need to get after the quarterback. They did have one.
They did have one. They had some quarterback hits as well, though.
And I think that Tech probably got a little homered out of some quarterback hurries. Terrence Broadway is not an easy guy to sack.
No, he's not, because he's a glorified running back. He's looking to run first and foremost regardless. And so
he certainly can't throw the ball very well.
Absolutely, which, again, played right into what we were hoping and expecting. But Broadway is a 6'2", 220-pound quarterback, run-first quarterback. I mean, you're not going to bring him down that often because he's going to make you miss and stuff like that. The important thing was that they were able to collapse the pocket, were able to get pressure on him, regardless of whether or not they were actually being credited with sacks or not.
Oh, for sure. And I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what San finished the first show with, is telling people to get off their high horse, basically, and that Tech and ULL are rivals. I know there's a lot of Tech faithful out there that don't like to hear that. But why in the world have you played somebody 86 times if you're not quote-unquote rivals? Yes, Tech did show that there's some separation there. And there's been separation for seven games. But why not keep playing it?
Sure. Well, especially an in-state opponent that's trying to do something similar to you. I mean, regardless of whether or not Louisiana Tech fans think that they've arrived at, because they're in Conference USA or whatever.
I'm not saying it happens every year.
Sure.
Put it on cycle and you play them once every 5 years, once every 3 years.
Yeah, I could see you going once every four. Nothing wrong with that. Once every four, every you know, class or whatever. We'll do something like that. But I do think that game should stay part of the schedule for years to come. Especially because, as Skip Holt said afterwards, being able, when you're recruiting in-state kids, and there are kids that are going to ULL, and there are kids that are coming to Tech that are hearing from the other school. And when Skip mentioned it after the game, he said, look, you don't have to try to convince them with words. Now you can show them what happened on the football field.
We're going to cue that up during the break, and we'll play that. That soundbite was the best we've heard in a long time. John, if you'll go to bleedtechblue.com, there's my story about the ULL game and the commitments reactions. That's in a video, and we can just play the video, and it has Hudspeth responding to my questions as well as Coach Holtz. But that no one expected, by the way, for me to go into the into the ULL post-game press conference.
I knew you were at the game. I knew you were on the sideline. I didn't realize that you were going to the post game press conference. Well, I almost kind of, well, you know, I didn't really think about it because I just figured that you would.
Well, normally post game press conferences kind of happen at the same time.
Sure.
Hudspeth was reaming them so bad in the locker room that he finished his session in the locker room, probably throwing lockers against the wall.
He's big enough to do it. Then someone needs to check that man for something. I mean, that guy's huge.
Yeah, if the NCAA tests for PEDs for coaches, that man's getting popped.
He's right up there at the top of the list.
He is jacked.
Absolutely. I was surprised.
He's jacked up. But anyway, so Coach Holtz finishes. Jason Jones was in the ULL press conference. He was going to get some audio for BleedTechBlue.com, and he texted me and said, hey, he hadn't come in here yet, so why don't you come on in? And by the time I got in, he was finishing up his opening statements. So I got to ask him what the game meant for recruiting purposes, and then I went on to ask him about Joseph Brunson's play, since Joseph was a former ULL Raging Cajun. So that was fun times. I don't think he really appreciated the recruiting question very much. He wouldn't make eye contact, wouldn't look my way. But it's all in good fun, and that's what those things are for, to ask a tough question.
Those press conferences are there to ask the tough questions. They're to ask questions. And if you go to those press conferences, and there's lots of people in our field who go to those press conferences and don't ask questions. And for those people that don't ask questions, they go write stories with your questions. So I would absolutely ask those questions. Get those questions asked, because they're going to answer them.
That question probably wasn't going to get asked.
No, absolutely not, which is why I'm glad that you asked it. I mean, someone needed to be there to ask that question. And just like Skip Holt said, now you can show them the scoreboard and say, look what we did on the field.
But go check my story out of course, ULL tried to bring as many Tech commitments into that game as they could. It blew up in their face. Obviously, there's a story on BleedTechBlue.com, free read for you out there. Been shared about 1,000 times across Facebook, so you may have already seen it. If you haven't, go check it out. Also, another feature, 99-yard touchdown run by Kenneth Dixon. Did a little film study and have some animated GIFs on the website where you can watch the play unfold, and I've diagrammed it, and you see what happened and why it got sprung for 99 yards. And it also shows previously in the game when they went for it on 4th and 1, the same play, just going the other direction, and it failed. So it just shows you what Tech did differently and why it worked, and why what ULL did differently made it work. But go check those two features out. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll have those clips from Coach Holtz and Coach Hudspeth. Good stuff. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford. host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors. Then we'll get to that clip from at the post-game press conferences after ULL.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. After these clips, you're still welcome to give us your calls at Keller Williams Parish Y Partners Hotline at 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762. And, of course, you can email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com or utilize Twitter, as some are already doing. Use the hashtag BTB Radio to ask us your questions, and we will answer them on the air.
Let's hear it, John.
Coach, what do you say that ULL tried to get as many of y'all's commitments at this game as they could, and what do you have to say to that?
I'm glad they were here to see it. It's great to have the opportunity to play each other, because then you can put it in perspective for where our program is compared to some other programs in this state, and people aren't just talking about it on recruiting phone calls, but now they've got to back it up by going and playing it on the field.
What's this game going to mean recruiting around the state?
Well, anytime you don't win one, obviously you hate that, but, you know, hopefully we can continue recruiting well. But anytime you don't win in-state games, that hurts. But we're going to bounce back and continue to work hard.
I thought the most telling was, of course, that middle clip. That was Holtz's parting comment from the press conference. The last question, I think, came from KSLA News in Shreveport asked that question. I don't remember exactly what the question was. But it's obvious that the Bulldogs have faced some, I don't know whether to call it adversity, but some negative things on the recruiting trail that have happened because of ULL.
Scrutiny?
I wouldn't even call it it may be, it's really negative recruiting. I'll just go ahead and call a spade a spade. ULL is saying some things that may or may not be true, probably more likely than not. They're just stretching the truth and putting themselves in more positive light. And I think Coach Holtz getting some things off his chest that have probably been brewing for since he's gotten to Ruston.
Well, if you're a fan of ULL, ask yourself where your program is if you're having to make these stories about yourself. Like, if you're having to fabricate something about your program in order to tell these recruits on recruiting phone calls and stuff, if you're having to fabricate something, then tell me where your program is. And that's what Skip Holtz was alluding to. Louisiana Tech no longer has to tell these players what they can do, or tell them that they would be better off coming to Louisiana Tech than to another in-state school, not even necessarily Louisiana Lafayette, but of course, you know, Tulane or to a lesser extent, ULM. But regardless, if you're a Louisiana Lafayette fan, ask yourself where your program is. If you have to continue to fabricate stories in order to impress these guys. And now, you were expecting to be able to go after this game, go to some of these kids, as you mentioned either in your story or on the Tech Drive message board on BleedTechBlue.com, that some of these coaches didn't even really speak to the kids or acknowledge that they were even there.
Yeah, that was. But, I think it was Brandon Brinson that said that they did not acknowledge that they were there and wanted the game to speak for itself.
Right, they wanted the game to speak for itself, and the game certainly did. 48-20 Louisiana Tech victory, and that's what Skip Holtz was alluding to. Just that you can now allow the play on the field, the scoreboard, to tell the story. It worked out really well.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, unfortunately, that's not. I hate it, because that's the process: is bringing your family to these campuses. Call it wine and dine, because that's really what's happening. Is they're rolling out the red carpet for these student athletes. But I can't print everything that I hear. And let's just say that's the Brandon Brinson quote was not the exception. And I don't like that, even when you're talking about Louisiana Tech maybe recruiting against a player that ULL's recruiting. You don't want people to treat people that way, whether it's in football or in life. But, sorry, that was a little bit of a soapbox.
Well, no, you're certainly not incorrect that it even goes into a conversation beyond football, especially from a class perspective, still having class, character, stuff like that, which is something that you expect these kids to come in and model. You expect them to behave in a way that represents the university in a positive light, in a positive manner, because they're not just, they don't just represent themselves at that point. When they put on the uniform, when they become part of your football program, they represent the coaching staff, they represent the university, and you'd certainly like for those kids to come in and behave in a manner that shows class. And that's just not what you're doing. You're talking out both sides of your mouth.
We're watching this 42-inch LG flat screen from Best Way and Ruston Cable by Suddenlink, and the commercial on ESPN where it goes through the country, and that's actually a commercial that Tech's in. There's a couple of band members from Louisiana Tech in that commercial, so that's pretty neat. You actually just saw it there on the bottom left. There's a little thumbnail, but they go full screen as well. So that just be on the lookout when you're watching ESPN as a college football playoff commercial with a guy sitting in a. He starts out with an LSU fan in a flatboat. Some things,
because all LSU
some
fans,
things write themselves.
Yeah, all LSU fans own flatboats.
Maybe it should have been a Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajun in the flatboat.
There you go.
The airboat. Let's hear from you on the Parish Y Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762, the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's hear your thoughts on that ULL game. Did you rub it in some Cajun fans' faces? Tell us some stories about your experiences in Lafayette. I know that they weren't all positive. I didn't have a wonderful time on the sidelines. I can say that.
Hey, Ford, what if we don't have any Cajun friends?
You kind of do. I was born down there. I was born on the bayou.
Quote-unquote Cajun's friends.
You probably don't.
I don't. I don't have one.
I had one guy that served on the USS Cole with me that was from Lafayette, and it was at a time when they were not the most successful program in the South, so I used to rib him pretty good about it.
Kind of like now that what's Tech's won, this is what, 7 in a row?
Right, this is the 7th in a row.
Next year will probably be 8.
Right, that's something to mention. Next year, of course, they'll play again. And they'll play in Ruston. And at the close of the sports company, Santoria mentioned that they were gonna travel. They would bring fans. They would come back up. They would come up to Ruston, expecting to try to, you know, get vengeance for the shellacking that Louisiana Tech gave them at home. And that's not true. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think that's the case.
I think they'll probably bring 1,000.
Sure,
Tech probably brought 2,500 down there last past weekend.
I was thinking somewhere between 800 to 1,500 being on the higher end, because at that point, Hudspeth is most likely going to be gone. Broadway's gone. Alonzo Harris is gone. A lot of these kids are gone. And this is Louisiana Lafayette's year to get the exposure that they're trying to get. Well, really is.
The intro on the ESPN3 broadcast when I was doing the film study, they talked about how this – people were saying this was the best Raging Cajun football team possibly ever. If that is a true statement, that's sad.
Yeah, because it didn't show up in the box score. It didn't show up on the scoreboard. It didn't show up at the halftime scoreboard. At the halftime scoreboard, you're down 17-7.
While we're on that topic, I thought that field goal late in the second quarter may have been the turning point in the game. If that's not the turning point, the 80-something yard or 70-something yard touchdown on the second play of the second quarter or second half was definitely the turning point.
Yeah, you come out of the second half you get the ball, and second play of the drive, Sterling Griffin 78-yard touchdown pass from Cody Sokol. And who is Sterling Griffin? Boy, Sterling Griffin looks absolutely completely different than 1 year ago, and it's because he's healthy. And this is the reason why Skip Holtz brought him in. This is the reason why he came to Tech, because Skip was aware of the kind of stuff that Griffin could do if he could stay healthy. Now, of course, we'll knock on wood, but
we hear so often when so-and-so's healthy, he's going to be a different player, and it sounds like coach speak.
Well, of course.
And we heard it And we've been saying it ourselves, because he has looked different in practice. I tried to let everybody know that that Oklahoma game was not indicative of this football team. And right. It was not in the least, and I think we saw that on Saturday. But Sterling Griffin is a different football player than he was a year ago. This is a different football team than a year ago.
And I'm going to tell you, it starts at quarterback.
Yeah, Coach Holtz's comments on Cody Sokol Monday were telling about how improved the quarterback position is.
Absolutely. I mean, multiple times Holtz talked about Sokol's intangibles, talked about the level of competitiveness that he plays with, how smart he is, how tough he is, what a leader he is, what a leader he's transformed into in such a short amount of time of being with this program. And it's absolutely true. And we saw it in week one against Oklahoma. Really, we did. Cody Sokol would take big hits and stand in the pocket and deliver a pass and know he was going to get rocked. And they did it again against Lafayette.
Let's go to that Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline on line one with Bill. Bill, what's going on, my man? Bill? Hello?
Hello?
There you are, Bill. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm just on my way home listening to you, and I just wanted to put in a comment that I used to travel for a living, and I happened to be in on I-10 going across South Louisiana toward Lafayette. And just changing stations, and I happened to pick up the ULL campus station. I have never, ever heard anything like that. They were talking about Tech that they had played the previous Saturday, and I mean, it was vitriolic. It was just awful the way they talked about Tech.
They didn't have much of a leg to stand on Saturday, now, did they?
Yeah, and, you know, all the things they do, like want to be called the University of Louisiana and all that garbage, you know, it just proves what kind of mentality those folks down there have got about that school.
Well, Bill, you're definitely not the only person we've heard that kind of thing from. Thanks for calling, my friend.
All right, see you later.
Bill Crow, ladies and gentlemen. That's the first appearance he's made on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and I hope it's not the last. Good people. Real good people. But it is – they kind of have what's coming to them because of how they act.
Sure. Well, they've been trying to prove that they're the number two school in the state, and they're trying to be this flagship of the University of Louisiana system and all this stuff. Handle your business on the field, you know, let your play do the talking, and that certainly hasn't been the case for ULL for the past 3 years. I mean, these 3 years that they've had are the most, some of the most successful years they've had in the history of the program. And, boy, by talking to them, you would think that they've just been this, you know, national powerhouse for years and years, and that no one would have expected them to play in the Sun Belt and this kind of stuff. Handle your business on the field, win the games, win the in-state games, prove that you're the number two team in the state if that's the case. And you don't have a leg to stand on after Saturday, because Louisiana Tech only continued to solidify what we've been saying so far, which is that this is a different team than a year ago, that they're going to compete in the Conference USA West.
There was a story on theadvocate.com, the Baton Rouge newspaper, by Luke Johnson. I've heard good things about Luke, so I'm not trying to badmouth him, but he did have a comment this week on the website that if Tech and ULL played 10 times, that wasn't it something like ULL will win 7 or 9 times?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand that comment. Wait, if the score was 28-24 and Tech scored late touchdown to make it 28-24, I would understand that.
Well, even if you just take off, say that the Xavier Woods 46-yard touchdown interception, interception return for a touchdown, say that he didn't do that. Say that was luck. Okay, well then it's still 41-20. Okay,
still a 2-possession game.
Say that Kenneth Dixon doesn't get the 99-yard touchdown run there in the first quarter, and so the game is then 34-20. You still beat them by 2 touchdowns. You're still beating them by 2 touchdowns.
And the last touchdown came
right. It was
last time expired.
Exactly. A garbage time touchdown is time expired from the backup quarterback. So I don't buy those comments, not one bit. I mean, Louisiana Tech had 533 yards of total offense. They were just as balanced as we expected them to be. 33 passing attempts, 35 rushing attempts, and successful on both sides, 238 yards rushing on 35 attempts. They averaged 6.8 yards per carry. They averaged 7 yards a carry, and they nearly averaged a first down on every pass, throwing the ball for 9 yards per passing attempt.
And you said you wanted to talk about the well, actually, let's take a break. Other side of the break, we'll go into Conference USA football and talk a little bit more about this game. But we want to take the break while we're at a little stopping point, and we'll get into more ULL talk on the other side of the break. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will win.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Jared, a couple of sponsors that we'll get into some Conference USA football.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can utilize Twitter. Use the hashtag BTBRadio. Ask us your questions, and we will answer them on the air.
Conference USA football. The bottom is really bad. FIU, FAU, Southern Miss is terrible. I think there's a pretty good amount of parity everywhere else. I'm not sure how good Old Dominion is either, because NC State's bad.
Right, NC State is bad. Worse than I expected them to be.
Yeah, they're worse this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
So you got Old Dominion, FIU, FAU, and Southern Miss that are really the stellar dwellers of Conference USA. And as you said when we were in during break, they're undefeated against the Group of Five.
Right. Conference USA is now 7-0 against the Group of Five. Now, they haven't been able to get a victory over any of the
AQs or the Power Five.
The Power Five, the BCS. Not that we use that anymore. But regardless, Conference USA, that's not what they have to do. They don't have to beat those schools. What they have to do is have the highest ranked champion, conference champion, at the end of the year to compete in one of those New Year's Day games. That's all they've got to do. That's it. And so far, Conference USA has been able to win those games, 7-0, as I've already mentioned, and they've looked good so far. Even new additions such as Western Kentucky has looked good.
Western Kentucky has looked good. Bowling Green's not very good, so
But they did win the MAC last year.
They lost a lot, and they lost their coach as well.
But what I'm saying is that Western Kentucky was able to get a victory over the last year's MAC champion.
Yeah.
Louisiana Tech was able to get a victory over ULL last year's Sun Belt champion, a preseason Sun Belt pick to win the conference, and also Terrence Broadway was the preseason Offensive Player of the Year for the Sun Belt.
And Western Kentucky did lose this past week to Illinois, 34-42, an Illinois team. I mean, let's be honest. They're not great.
They're not great, but they scored 21 in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game. It was 27-21. Actually, I believe it was 34-21, and then Illinois was able to reel off three touchdowns and
well, that's win a heartbreaking one. And then so, you look at last Thursday night, Arizona holds on to beat UTSA 26-23 inside the Alamo Dome. FAU 41-0 lost to number 2 Alabama. SMU loses to North Texas 43-6, and
that's not all they lost.
June Jones resigned. I think that's kind of that was a forced resigning. June Jones, maybe their games passed him by, but he did get them back on track when he first got to SMU. So he did do some good things for the Mustangs. UAB gave Mississippi State all they wanted, 47-34 in Starkville. Middle Tennessee traveled to Minnesota, lost by 11, 35-24. Old Dominion lost to NC State, 46-34. Florida International played the Mighty Wagner, beat them 34-3. At least they didn't lose to Bethune-Cookman again. Louisiana Tech, of course, victorious over Louisiana Lafayette, 48-20. And Southern Miss narrowly escapes a loss to Alcorn State of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
26-20. What a terrible showing for Southern Miss so far this season.
Marshall beats Rhode Island 48-7. And UTEP gave Texas Tech all they wanted at home, 30-26. This conference is pretty decent.
Yeah, as we mentioned, or as you mentioned at the beginning of the at the top of the segment, there's a lot of parity at the top. There's a lot of quality schools at the top. There's some competition at the top. The bottom is bad. The bottom is, boy, they're really bad.
Dreadful.
But we knew that. We already knew that. Now, there have been a couple of surprises. UAB has looked better than I expected them to, led by sophomore running back Jordan Howard, who we'll probably mention every week.
But, and that, I tell you what, that new coach at UAB came from Jacksonville State.
Bill Clark.
Bill Clark, he hasn't heard enough credit for this dramatic turnaround at UAB. If he continues this, he won't be at UAB very long.
No, and that's actually during the game I tweeted before Louisiana Lafayette before the Louisiana Lafayette game. I tweeted that Louisiana Tech fans should be cautious when watching what Bill Clark had done at UAB and how quickly he was able to turn it around there, because that is the exception. It's certainly not the rule. That's a quick turnaround, and then of course Louisiana Tech went on to win that game.
Then you look at Middle Tennessee traveling to the Big Ten. Now, the Big Ten's down this year. There's some that would argue, when has the Big Ten ever been up?
Right.
But so they – who knows really how great Middle Tennessee is. They did lose by two possessions against Minnesota. NC State, like we said, is terrible. And Old Dominion did give up 46 points to them.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of defense. There wasn't a whole lot of defense played in that game, period. There was 90 points scored. Florida International, still terrible. And I don't know what it's – probably the biggest surprise that the dumpster fire is still raging is Southern Miss. That's a place that was – it has proud tradition.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, years – I mean, a whole decade of bowl game appearances. And then you go 0-12 and then 1-11. And, boy, it certainly doesn't look like it'll be much better than that this season. If you're keeping score at home, the West Division, of course, doesn't have a two-game winner. Louisiana Tech 1-1, North Texas 1-1, Southern Miss 1-1, UTEP 1-1, UTSA 1-1, Rice 0-1. And then, of course, on the East, Marshall's 2-0, and that's really all you need to know. Everyone else is 1-1 except FAU. They're 0-2. Losses to Alabama and Nebraska.
Looking at this week, Tech, of course, Thursday night on CBS Sports Network, a 7 o'clock kickoff, will travel to Denton, Texas to take on the Mean Green of North Texas. If you're listening to us podcasted, don't forget to, if you're in Texas, to get out to that game. It should be a good one. We'll get more into that talk later. Here, actually, pretty soon, we're going to talk to Brett Vito of the Denton Record Chronicle, the beat writer for the Mean Green, will be joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
And, of course, on BleedTechBlue.com also, I have a preview, a free read there on the website, a preview of the Louisiana Tech versus North Texas game. Find out, you know, some of my thoughts on that game coming up Thursday night.
And then Ohio travels to Marshall. Pittsburgh travels to Florida International. CBS Sports Network will carry the Marshall game. Fox Sports 1 will carry the Florida International game. That new American Sports Network will carry UAB hosting Alabama A&M. ESPN2 will have Southern Miss at number 3 Alabama. Oh, my. They may break the scoreboard in Tuscaloosa on that one.
The Alabama is favored by 49. The line is 49.
The over under,
and the over under is 55. So
gracious
goodness.
Eastern Michigan travels to Norfolk, Virginia to play Old Dominion. That game not televised. UTSA travels to Oklahoma State. On that game will be televised on Fox Sports Network, probably Fox Sports Southwest here in North Louisiana. Western Kentucky will travel to rival Middle Tennessee State. I'm surprised that game's not on TV, but it's not. Tulsa will travel to FAU, game on Fox College Sports. American Sports Network will carry New Mexico State at UTEP, another rivalry. And then ESPN2 will carry Rice at Texas A&M. One thing I will say before we get to the break and get to Brett Vito, the Conference USA's TV contract, while it's not ESPN, is pretty good.
Yeah, it's certainly better than what they had in the WAC. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Or the Sun Belt. I mean, here you're looking at ULL, who was supposed to be their best team in the conference, and they have, including this week's game at Ole Miss, I think 4 total games on TV.
Correct. It was 4.
And Tech will have all but Northwestern State on television.
Right. Tech's going to have 11 games on television. And even if you don't, maybe you don't get CBS Sports Network.
A bar near you does.
Yeah, absolutely. And on DirecTV, you can get it. It's channel 221. I've got it. I went ahead and got it for this week so that I could watch that game on Thursday night. CBS Sports Network is probably going to be one of the, I guess, probably the least carried networks that Tech will play on. A lot of games on Fox Sports 1.
The ESPN American Sports 3. Network, has been picked up by Cox. So Cox Sports will carry the American Sports Network, but if you're on satellite, you're out of luck.
But how many
Suddenlink does carry Cox?
How many Louisiana Tech fans have wanted to be able to watch these road games, especially in the WAC when it was too well, you couldn't travel to those games.
Sure,
wanted to watch them on TV and couldn't. Well, now though the games are on TV, please still drive out to those games. Denton is not a far drive. Lafayette's not a far drive. Going down to Southern Miss, well, not every year, but you know when they play in Southern Miss, is not a far drive. Continue to drive out to those games. The crowd made a huge difference in Lafayette the other night. I mean, it was noticeable on TV when after the Kenneth Dixon touchdown, the crowd got very loud. The Tech crowd got very loud. And then at one point there after the Hunter Lee touchdown, and then again after the Sterling Griffin touchdown, you could hear the crowd, the Tech fans, 2,500 plus or minus a few in attendance there, chanting, "We are Bulldogs." You could hear them on the broadcast.
And Tech fans, the allotment at North Texas Thursday night has been sold out, but the game has not been sold out.
Sure, you can still get them Tech's through UNT.
Tech's allotment has been sold out, but don't let that scare you off. There will be plenty of seats available inside of Apogee, a brand new stadium. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to make the trip out Thursday to see the game, and looking forward to seeing a brand new stadium like Apogee is. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll have Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle, the beat writer for
Barton Fame, Mirror Vane, Gone Insane, but the memory remains.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to Brett Vito on the Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners Hotline.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse.
Brett, how's it going, my friend?
It's going pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Just tell us how do you see this game? Just give us an overall summary of how you see this game matching up.
You know, I think it's going to be really interesting and could be a close game. North Texas played really, really well last week against SMU in a really big rivalry game for North Texas. There's no bigger win for North Texas and its fans than beating SMU. The interesting thing will be how they're able to build on it or at least bounce back from it against a Louisiana Tech team that looks like it's dramatically improved over last season.
You look at North Texas, it's hard not to look at that game one against Texas, and then you see what Texas does once again to BYU. Can you take anything from game one against Texas?
I think it's hard to just because of the fact that North Texas is replacing so many of its key players from the previous season in the heart of Dallas Bowl win in that opening game. You're talking about rolling out a guy there who was a junior college quarterback who only arrived on campus in December, and you're putting him out there against Texas, which just tended Sears back and came after him. And there was new starters across, you know, across that lineup, outside of its offensive line, secondary, pretty much everybody was new there. North Texas had fewer starters back than any other team other than Utah State from the previous year. So I think that was just kind of a perfect storm in terms of a bad situation for UNT. And they really did bounce back well from that situation against SMU last week.
Would you say is it fair to say that they're one-dimensional offensively? Do you think they'll be able to throw the ball some later in the year?
Well, you know, I think it is fair to say that they have been one-dimensional offensively. And, you know, it's hard to replace the kind of quarterback that they did lose last year. They lost Derek Thompson, who started for 3 years, took pretty much every snap for a long time for North Texas, and ended up being the second-leading passer in school history. And, you know, there wasn't anybody with much experience to replace him when they decided to turn to Josh Greer. They have an experienced backup in Andrew McNulty. They decided Greer was their better option, a sophomore, especially long-term, and they ride their running game, and that's been a hallmark of McCarty's teams for years and years and years. And they showed signs of being able to throw it a little bit better last week out. Greer was 9 for 11 in the first half, and ended up being 9 for 12 for 86 yards. But the thing with North Texas is that they can just run it up the middle and run it down a team's throat all day. They're going to do it, and they were able to do that against SMU.
You defensively, I know that they returned basically the defensive backfield, but the defensive line and the linebackers, they're replacing the majority of those guys from a year ago, correct?
Yeah, they lost six of the guys in their front seven. They do return Derek Acuna back, who is a strong side linebacker, who's a really good player. He probably has the potential to be an all-conference USA selection this year. And so they do have a lot of new guys up there. And the thing with McCarty is one of the hallmarks of his philosophy is play a lot of guys. And I know a lot of teams are like that, but North Texas will roll, you know, eight guys into the offensive line. They'll play a couple of different middle linebackers. They'll pull guys in and out to keep them fresh and to try to, keep guys out there that can go 100% every play. And that seemed to work real well for them against SMU, and has historically since Dan McCarty's been there. But there are a lot of guys that haven't played a lot of football in that group.
When you think of a game where it is as lopsided as a 43-6 game is, you expect the total yards to be a bigger differential than let's, what is it, what, 80? 80 total yards from 353 for North Texas and 274 for SMU. What was the story last week? Why was that the case?
It was turnovers. North Texas is able to force five, and that's another hallmark of what McCarty really believes in. He's a big believer in turnover margin is the difference in a lot of games. And they were able to force some pretty big turnovers. They had a pass over the middle where the receiver just absolutely got leveled by Derek Acuna and fell right to a defensive lineman, set up a short field. And if you look at the way that game played out, North Texas gets five turnovers. They also get a dropped punt. Those five turnovers all turn into touchdowns, and you look at the yards totals after those turnovers. North Texas gets an interception, goes 5 plays, 14 yards. Gets another interception, goes 6 plays, 25 yards. A fumble goes 8 plays, 27 yards, and then another fumble goes 5 plays, 21 yards. And they end up scoring on all those drives. And I think that was a large reason you didn't see a larger differential in terms of yards. It's just North Texas is playing on a short field pretty much all day.
And whenever you look at maybe some matchups that that Louisiana Tech could have some success in, what do you look at?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they do have a very experienced defensive backfield. North Texas isn't particularly big up front. That may be one area that that Louisiana Tech will look to exploit, because, you know, you have some guys up front on that defensive line that are not particularly big. Chad Polk played a terrific game. It was actually, they gave him a game ball after the game, and he was one of the, he forced a fumble that was returned for a touchdown, but he's a, you know, a defensive end at 6 foot tall and 231 pounds. You've got nobody up there who's starting that's over, you know, 285 pounds. I mean, that's what people are going to try to do against North Texas this year, is to line up and kind of maul them. And considering the strength of Louisiana Tech in their running game and having a terrific running back, I would imagine that's what they'll try to do, is to try to load it up and run it right at that smaller defensive front that's got a lot of guys that are, you know, in the 250 to 260 range on that defensive line.
And then when you look at the other side of the ball, I know that it's the opposite story on North Texas's offensive line. They're very big. Do you think that Louisiana Tech may load the box there and make them beat them with the pass? Is it they haven't proven they can beat anybody with the pass?
I'm sure they will. I mean, that's the area that North Texas is the strongest in terms of its entire team, is that offensive line. You've got two guards in Mason Wibarbo and Surreal Lemon, who are both on the Lombardi watch list. And North Texas's staff really thinks that Lemon will be their first draft pick since 2004. The kid has started every single game since he showed up on campus. He's 6'3", he's 315. He can play guard, he can play tackle. He's been at least some level of all-conference every year he's been at North Texas. And those guys have played a ton of football. You're talking Antonio Johnson's a senior, Mason Wibarbo's a senior, Surreal Lemon's a senior. All those guys are going to be four-year starters. And then you've got Caden Kirby, who's a two-year starter at center, and Sean McKinney started a little bit last year, but mostly has been a backup that's moved into the starting lineup this year. And that guy's 358 pounds. So that's really where North Texas is the best. And I guess part of the disappointing part of the way North Texas played against Texas in its opener was it did give up four sacks. You got to remember, heading into this year, that group had only given up 17 sacks the previous 2 years combined, which was the lowest total in the country.
Well, that's a crazy number to only give up 17 sacks in that amount of time. We do this. We ask people to give a prediction. We don't hold anybody to it because we're really bad at it as well. If you could give a point prediction, that'd be wonderful.
You know, North Texas is really tough to beat at home. They're 14-5 under McCarney at Apogee Stadium, and I think North Texas is really on a roll here. I think it's going to be a close game, but considering UNT's at home, and I think, what, this is Louisiana Tech's third straight road game?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
But, you know, I would think North Texas would probably pull it out somewhere in the neighborhood of 27-24.
I can see that as well. Well, we really appreciate you joining us, Brett, and we look forward to talking to you in the future, maybe a little hoops down the road.
Oh, yeah, anytime, guys.
Thanks, Brett. Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. He brings up good points.
He does. He brings up a couple of really good points. I would like to point out a couple of things. First of all, the North Texas secondary is not great. They gave up 74 yards to a true 5'10 true freshman wide receiver at SMU. They gave up 65 to a 5'10 redshirt freshman from SMU, and then they gave up another 60 to a 6 foot 175-pound wide receiver. These are not tall kids. They're not big kids. They're not even particularly fast kids. I just got done looking at a couple of their 40 times. Neither one of them, none of them were exceptionally quick. So that secondary, of course, Texas, you really can't take much from that game. But I do think with the
I don't know why. Let me go ahead and say that.
You don't know why what? You can't take much from the Texas game? After the
shellacking they took from BYU.
Yeah, maybe you can. Maybe you can take a little more from it than I'm giving.
I can promise you this is what Texas did to North Texas. They lined up and blitzed the heck out of them.
Sure. Well, let me tell you what else. SMU's quarterback that went 11 of 21 for 134 yards was a freshman, and the other kid, Neil Burcham, that threw the two interceptions, ended up leaving the game and is now done for the rest of the year because of an elbow injury. And one of those interceptions he threw after the elbow was hurt. So it's not as if they were playing this, you know, this world-class quarterback or anything like that they got the two interceptions. Let me give you one statistic for North Texas that could hurt them. How many games have we played, Jay Ford? How many have we played?
Two.
We've played two games.
I haven't played any.
Two. We've played two games this season. And
Louisiana Tech's played two games.
North Texas. College football. Most of them have played two. Listen.
2 weeks in.
Listen. 21 penalties for North Texas for 195 yards. 21.
It's a lot.
In two games. And 15 for 139 against SMU.
And that happens when you replace as many starters as they are.
Oh. Sure, sure. Which is, like he said, they return the only team that returns fewer starters from last year than they do was Utah State, which, in all honesty, plays into Louisiana Tech's defense's favor.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll get more in depth into this North Texas game. And then, of course, in the 7:15 segment, we will give our predictions and recap the show. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jay Ford here with BleedTechBlue.com. That is me. And host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to our friend Sean Fox.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762. Email your questions to radio at bleedtechblue.com, or, of course, you can ask us your questions on Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio, and we will answer them on the air.
Sean, John's reaction to your phone call has me very intrigued.
It's just an inside joke for it. I don't want to get kicked off the air from the FCC.
Oh, okay, that's good.
It hasn't happened yet, but I guess there's the first time for anything. I figured if I was going to call in this year, this would be the appropriate time to do it. Because I've never been so happy to eat crow. Because I got to be honest, guys, I never saw this coming from a million miles away. In fact, if you would have told me it had been a 48-14 or 20 game, I would have believed you, but I would have thought it would have been the other way.
What did I tell?
I really thought ULL was going to beat the brakes off of Tech.
What did I tell you though before the game started?
Well, you have your opinion about the league.
Well, no, that wasn't. It really wasn't about the league. I said don't count Tech out. Is exactly what I told you.
No, you did. And before I got to be honest, I did because I did see. As some people may not have because it was a blowout. I did see some offensive improvement in that Oklahoma game that I didn't see last year. I mean, last year was one of the worst offensive performances I've ever seen in my life, and that is one of the reasons that I really didn't give us much of a chance. But again, I'm so happy to eat crow and proud of the effort the guys had. I thought the crowd was. I had heard rumblings of maybe 500 to 600. Now, unfortunately, I didn't make it, but it looked like there was a lot more than 500 or 600 Tech fans in attendance, and certainly you could hear them on the broadcast. They made their presence known, and it is amazing what one win against a particular opponent, I guess the way they did it, can change the outcome and, I guess, the expectations of a season for an entire fan base. And congratulations to Coach Holt and everybody, because I believe they did that. But I'm guilty of this, too. We've all kind of nitpicked and said, well, they beat ULL. They're supposed to beat ULL. And we could joke around about the separation or everything and said, well, they're not very good. And I think if we do that, we're maybe just discrediting what Tech just did, because honestly, I still think ULL is a pretty good football team. Maybe we're just a whole, and I say we, as in Tech, I am an alum, a little bit better than any of us gave them credit for.
I think you're right on target. ULL is not as bad as people are thinking they are. I think you know me. I think that shows a little bit of the separation of the two conferences. But yes.
But my only counter to that is, the two worst teams in Division I college football reside in Conference USA. So that would be my argument for that. But I agree with you. Certainly this does put a huge feather in Tech's cap, because it did just knock off and handily one of the top teams in Sun Belt Conference.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, Sean, you know I'll always love you calling in. And good call.
I appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, let's not be a one-hit wonder, and the momentum keeps rolling. And they put it to did on last Saturday on this Thursday.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep.
Sean Fox, ladies and gentlemen, another proud Fontainebleau alum, just like myself. He's just a couple years ahead of me. Jared was in diapers when we were in during we were in high school.
Probably so. That's probably a true statement. Like, that's probably not an exaggeration.
And I was probably in diapers whenever John was in high school.
Easy there, buddy. You're not that far behind me.
I got to throw you under the bus a little bit. That's what I'm here for, I guess. Sean's got good points. Tech is better, a whole lot better than people thought they were. And I was trying to portray that last week. I think people understand at this point.
Yeah, I do. I think there are still some concerns that maybe this was one of those games that Tech was able to get up for a little bit because there was some, you know, some of the talking before the game and stuff like that. And maybe there are still some fans that are concerned that that's just what this was a Tech team that was playing above and beyond what they're actually capable of week in and week out. Do I think that Tech's going to beat every opponent 48-20 from now on? Absolutely not. Do I think that Tech has a real chance to beat North Texas? Absolutely so.
The going back to the North Texas game, the matchups that I like Tech's offense against that defense.
I agree. Texas was able to rush for 163 yards against them. But
time of possession is going to be huge in this game. Tech's got to keep North Texas out of third and manageables. If you keep them in third and seven plus and get them out off the field, you're going to be okay. But that big Pegram, is that his last name?
Pegram, yes.
Pegram at 5'9", 230 pounds. The man's a bowling ball. I did take a shot at the Big Ten earlier, but he is a Purdue transfer. So he's got some big-time ability.
Well, they run with a three-headed monster down there. Reggie Pegram, of course, does lead the trio. He's a senior. But freshman Jeffrey Wilson and junior Antoine Jimerson also get carries. The trio, they've combined for 286 of the team's 324 rushing yards this season. They've combined for 79 of the 98 attempts. And honestly, in both those games, Reggie against SMU and against Texas, Pegram looked pretty good. I mean, he had 50 yards rushing against Texas. They performed much better against SMU, but come on, it's SMU. And regardless, I understand Vito saying that there's no bigger win for North Texas than to beat SMU because of the rivalry there and stuff like that, but SMU's not a good football team. They're just not.
Evidenced by their coach quitting.
Right, exactly. And the offensive line for North Texas is probably going to be the best offensive line that Louisiana Tech will face outside of Oklahoma and Auburn that they're going to see this year. But put your attention to the defensive side of the ball. Put your eyes on the depth chart for the defensive line of the Mean Green. You're talking about 6'3", 250, 6'2", 260, 6'1", 250, and 6'0", 220. These are not big guys on the defensive line.
A.K.A. Kenneth Dixon is as big as they are.
Just about. He's close. I mean, this DN that's going to start Polk is 6 foot, 220 pounds. I mean, Kenneth Dixon, that's Kenneth Dixon right there. So I do think that Tech's offensive line will be able to get some push against this defensive line. I do think that Tech will have success running the ball once again.
I think one of maybe the biggest key to this game, and Tech did not do this Saturday, and I thought that it was a key to victory this past Saturday, was starting fast. I mean, they had four penalties in opening drive. But getting North Texas to play like they feel like they're playing from behind, if you get a three-score lead on them, I don't know if you can stick with the run if you're up three. If you're down three scores.
No, well, but when you look at that North Texas team, I mean, you're going to turn to Josh Greer, who's done what? 2 for 11 for 8 yards with two interceptions. He completed as many balls to his teammates as he did to the Texas defense. And then against SMU, he was 9 of 12, but it was only for 80 yards. Obviously, he's 11 for 23 for 94 yards on the season. He's thrown 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, Greer is not – and also – Greer is no threat to run the ball at all. He was at Navarro Junior College before he came to North Texas. He was not a threat to run the ball. He's not a threat to run the ball there.
He's a statue.
So, absolutely. I mean, he's going to stand in the pocket. Actually, he's not even going to stand in the pocket. He's going to run away from the pocket as soon as he hands the ball off to one of those three running backs so he doesn't get hit, because that's all he's going to do all game long is hand the ball off. Unless, of course, like you mentioned, Tech can get out to a quick start, build a lead, and try to make them come back in the air.
One place that I am concerned for Tech is stopping the run. I know that I say sell out, stack the box. I worry about the defensive line depth.
Yeah. One thing you could take from last week, although not part of the defensive line, was Tony Johnson's ability to really step up and plug holes and fill gaps and stop the run. And Tony Johnson played much better against ULL than he did against Oklahoma. And he's going to be facing a quality offensive line. But these running backs, none of these running backs that North Texas is going to employ are world beaters or anything like that. Pegram was there with the team last year. He rushed for 400 yards and 7 touchdowns. Jimerson was there with the team last year. He rushed for 300 yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. Both of them had over 150 carries last year. Neither one of them were particularly productive a season ago. So I don't think that it's... that it's out of the question that Louisiana Tech could stop the run against this offensive line. But you're right, the defensive line, the depth of the defensive line is certainly something to look at. But
especially
then,
if they start getting several sustained drives and Tech has some three and outs, it's a concern. If you get some fatigue on the defensive line and you don't have anybody to roll in and roll out, it could be worrisome, could be dangerous for the Bulldogs. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap it up. Give our predictions. Who we think wins Thursday in Apogee Stadium in Denton, Texas. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, our final segment here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll finish her up.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. You can still join us on the phone lines for this last segment at the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Of course, you can still email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com and use Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio to ask us your questions, and we will answer them on the air.
What's your gut telling you, Jared? A dub?
You're a Tech alum. I'm still currently a Tech student.
That's a fact.
It's a little hard to take off the red and blue glasses after a good win against ULL. But I've done so.
You've taken the glasses off.
I've taken the glasses off.
Oh.
I've taken them off. I'm not overly optimistic. Vegas is usually right. They weren't last.
Early in the season is when they're not so right.
Right, and that's because they're still getting, you know, a feel for everything. But personally, I think Louisiana Tech is going to be in this game all the way to the end.
That's how I feel as well.
I think that defense is going to be good enough, and this team is very one-dimensional. We mentioned that, you know, Louisiana Tech is playing the third road game in 13 days, and so it's hard, of course, to game plan for each individual team and all that stuff. Well, look, you didn't show anything against Oklahoma. You didn't show anything against Oklahoma. You had a great game plan for ULL, but it was pretty simple. North Texas is one-dimensional. It will be easier to game plan for North Texas on a short week than a team like ULL or one of these others that has a multifaceted offense. North Texas is going to do one thing, and that's pound the ball.
Let's go to the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline to our friend Jason. We're going to put you under the spotlight and make you pick first.
That's what I called.
I knew.
So I'm going with Tech 35, North Texas 30. I think it'll be a higher scoring game. Like Jared said, they're one-dimensional. They'll score a couple touchdowns in the first half, maybe a field goal or two, and, you know, they might even lead at halftime. But I think those big boys up front will get tired. And just any team, you know, in the second half as the game gets going, they're just going to get a little worn down, and they'll start pressing a little bit. Like Jared said, a lot of penalties. They'll probably pass a little bit too much. Tech's going to really be able to tee off on them. I know Tech's playing three road games in a row on short rest. I know they're a little bit thin on the D-line right now, but and I think that will be to North Texas. That'll be to their advantage early, but I think the game will go very similar to the same kind of storyline as Lafayette, you know, in the second half. I think Tech's going to have some better athletes, and I think they'll wear them down and make the plays. Tech's got the better quarterback, and I say thank goodness that Cody Sokol and Houston Bates transferred in, because this team will be way different without them.
Appreciate it, my friend.
No problem.
Have a good one. Well, you look at the over-under and the line from our friends out in Vegas. It opened up a 4-point line in Tech as the dog. It went out all the way to a 6.5-point favorite for North Texas. It's down to a 3.5-point line or a 4-point line on most of the books, with an over-under of 48. Jason's saying way over.
Yeah, Jason's going way over. I think what Vegas is anticipating is that both of these teams
ground and pound.
Run first teams, and
The clock's going to run fast, because if you don't throw the ball much, the clock never stops.
Right, exactly. But I do think that Tech will be able to move the ball in the air against North Texas, which was what I've been saying. Cody Sokol he's transformed this offense. It's not a one-dimensional offense like it was a year ago. They have the ability to throw the football now. And North Texas, if they proved anything against SMU or against Texas, is that their defensive backs are not particularly good in pass coverage. Also, the defense has only registered one sack.
That being said,
Louisiana Tech is also only registered. Yeah, so there's that.
Tech's only registered one sack as well.
Yeah. And I was just giving props to Tech for how, even though they hadn't really shown up in the stats as far as sacks, they still get quarterback hits and hurries and stuff, and now I'm using that against
Texas. It's kind of like we're PTI right now. We're fact-checking ourselves.
Right.
So what would you – well, we'll make the producer pick first.
Of course. John picks first every week. Tabor,
since you were wrong last week.
Yeah, that's not the first or the last time. I was quite encouraged with what we saw going forward, not just in a one-game instance, but for the long haul in the 2014 season. So I'm going to take Tech 31, North Texas 27.
You're picking up what I'm laying down, even though I haven't laid anything down. You laughing over there.
I want to mention something. Jason Jones just sent me a text that said that Higgins threw for 340 yards against them last year. Ryan Higgins threw for 340 yards against them last year. That's encouraging. Also, I want to mention one thing before I make my prediction.
Also threw a lot more last year because they were playing from behind.
The 28-13 was the final score. They weren't that far behind.
They weren't, but does memory serve me incorrectly, which that wouldn't, like John would say, it wouldn't be the first time. I feel like it was not as close as the score indicated. Like I said, I've been wrong many, many times before. I'm concerned with third road game in a row, D-line depth. I think Tech's going to be able to move the ball on them. If they win the turnover battle and win the time of possession battle, I think they should win it decently handily. What was
last year's game was 14-10 at halftime.
And then what happened in the third quarter?
They went up to 28-10, and then Tech ended up making it 28-13 before the game was over.
When was the last score? Go look at the
UNT didn't. UNT only scored in the second and third quarters.
Well, the last score for Tech. How much time was left?
12:27 left in the fourth. Kyle Fisher kicked a 35-yard field goal.
I'm gonna. I'll go ahead and pick before you. I gotta stay with Tech, but I don't feel great about it, to be completely honest, because of my concerns that I've mentioned more than once. I'll go North Texas 28, Tech 21.
I thought you said you were going to stay with Tech.
I didn't. Let's flip it. Yeah, let's go flip it. I like the score. Tech 28, UNT 21.
Sounds like a man who doesn't know.
I don't know. I really don't in this one.
In week one, Louisiana Tech won the turnover battle against Oklahoma. Forced two, only gave up one. In week two, they forced three ULL turnovers, turned them into points, and they didn't turn the ball over at all. If that trend continues. Also, week two, time of possession was 30-46 to 29-14 in favor of ULL. And week one, we're talking 31.
By the way, Tech is number eight in the country, tied for number eight in the country in turnover margin at plus two.
If that continues, if that trend continues, if they're able to force a couple of turnovers, which this quarterback is capable, absolutely capable of doing, if they put him, pressure him, I think Tech is going to win 27. They're going to score 27 points. Tech will win 27-14.
I said 28-21. You said 27-14. John said
something. Something.
31-28.
We all got it really close, and we're right there at around the same score. When you look at that over under, it kind of tells you. I think it tells the tale of 48 points. That's
48 points was what was all of Louisiana Tech's points from last weekend. They're expecting this to be ground and pound. They're expecting it to be a three runs on a pile of dust or a cloud of dust.
There we are. For John Tabor, a.k.a. Joe Dirt, on the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared King, thank you for joining us once again. Right on top of it, like always.
I join you every week.
I know. And make sure you join Jared post-game, the post-post-game.
Yeah, the first National Bank post-game call-in show live on Z107.5 for 1 hour each week after Dave Nitt's first National Bank post-game show there after each Louisiana Tech broadcast.
First National Bank got a good plug today.
Sure did. They get pretty good plugs every week.
We appreciate y'all stopping by. We'll see you next time. Make sure you check out BleedTechBlue.com this week. You won't be disappointed. See you next week.
You've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 97.7.